I just want to lay out what the Spirit, it's my assignment when I come to a church for the first time to unleash a word that God placed in my spirit that I've written about extensively, and it speaks to our current reality, and it all hovers around the simple notion, and permit me to stretch this a bit as it pertains to modern day contextualization. So in essence, what took place some years ago, approximately 2,800 years ago, in essence, Jezebel, famous Jezebel, she tweeted. She did. Jezebel tweeted. And Jezebel's tweet was real simple. It's from 1 Kings 19:2. Do you have the tweet back there, media team? Jezebel sent this message to that was it. That's it. She actually said that. Look at the handle, Jezzy. In 24 hours, hey Elijah, in 24 hours you will die. Let me biblically substantiate it. 1 Kings 19:2. Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow, 24 hours, I haven't killed you as you killed them. She tweeted, in 24 hours, you will die. You have to juxtapose that with 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared. Drawn by horses of fire, it drove between the two men, referencing Elijah and Elisha, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. I want to speak to you briefly on the subject matter, Jezebel's tweet. The threat versus the testimony. The subtext is this. When heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. When heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. Jezebel made a threat. Elijah carried a mantle. Let me repeat that for the hearing impaired. Jezebel made a threat. Elijah carried a mantle. On one side, we have the threat. On the other side, we have the testimony. The testimony will always be greater than the threat, which means what God has placed upon you will always be greater than anything hell can place in front of you. Now, if you look at this reality, because we live currently in 2023, our current spiritual landscape smells like, looks like, walks like, talks like the time of Elijah and Elisha, of Ahab and Jezebel. And if we are to juxtapose Jezebel's tweet, we have to put it right next to the mantle that was upon the prophet Elijah. So I am coming in agreement, and I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. When they write about this time in history, I am totally convinced that we will not be writing about a time where the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab and Baal reigned without any limitations. There is a generation of Elijahs and Elishas rising up that are about to occupy space. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and other terms that I cannot make in California, listen to me carefully. We are about to see the emergence of a generation of Elijahs and Elisha that are about to shift America towards righteousness and justice. But it begins with the mantle of the Spirit. Somebody say mantle of the Spirit. If you're taking any notes, and good luck with that, it begins with the mantle of the Spirit. The power of the Lord, the Spirit of God, came on Elijah, 1 Kings 18:46. This hour, right now, this current landscape, really in America and around the world, speaks to the fact that we're living in a cuckoo for cocoa puff season, which means what? We can not deny the following. Here's the story. Ahab was a mucho malo hombre, and the spirit of Ahab is alive and well right now in this state, in this city, in America, robbing love, killing joy, destroying peace. Spiritually speaking, Ahab represents forces with access and authority attempting to prompt us to sacrifice truth on the altar of expediency. The spirit of Ahab is alive and well in America and around the world today. According to 1 Kings 16:34, Ahab, this crazy king, gave permission for the rebuilding of the walls of Jericho. Let me digress here. Never before did a king ever have the audacity to ever attempt to rebuild something that God knocked down. This king came along and said, I am giving you permission to rebuild the walls of Jericho. That spirit is alive in America today.
There is a spirit that is attempting to rebuild walls of separation that kept our nation apart for so many years. The spirit of Ahab is the spirit that wants to, in perpetuity, just rebuild walls that alienate communities, that impede unity. And I'm going to get in trouble now. I may not get invited. If not, Pastor Joe is still my favorite pastor on the planet. So here it is. It is the spirit that doubles down on every single vestige of discord and division and strife and exacerbates the chasms between communities. And that's happening in America right now. What we need is a pushback from the generation of Elijah and Elisha, which means what? That spirit of Ahab is trying to divide us in perpetuity based on the color of our skin. And the best pushback is for us to remind everyone there is no such thing as a black church, a white church, a brown church, a yellow church. There's only one church. It is the church of Jesus, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And that church is alive and well in St. Louis, Missouri, right here, right now. And that's why this church has a prophetic mandate to literally confront the spirit of Ahab in the powerful name of Jesus. It is that church. It is that church. Oh, Jezebel was his wife, and she was nasty on steroids. Señora reprenda diabla mala. The spirit of Jezebel is alive and well, persecuting, prosecuting, and attempting to silence the children of the cross. It represents the manipulative, sexually coercive, perverse, corrupt cultural spirit with all intentionality to kill prophetic voices, to silence truth, and construct Asherah poles in order to marginalize the oracles of righteousness and justice. A spirit that exploits the moments in our lives when we are exhausted. And if you tell me, oh, that's Old Testament, Pastor Sam, read Revelation 2:20. This one thing I have against you, you have tolerated the spirit of Jezebel. Oh, boy. The spirit of, boy, are we streaming? Are we? Oh, great. Here we go again. The spirit of Baal is alive and well. That spirit, do your biblical due diligence, demands that truth and children be sacrificed on the altar of the false. It is a spirit coming after our children and our children's children. No conspiracy, no hyperbole like never before. Baal is coming after our children. Man, I'm gonna get in trouble. We need a church in the name of Jesus that dares confront every spirit coming after our children. Let a church have the audacity, the faith, the wherewithal to look at every lie of the enemy, every lie of indoctrination regarding race and gender. And we just need a church to rise up and say, get your hands off our children in the name of Jesus. Speak with spiritual authority.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
In the last days, men and women will become lovers of themselves. We call that narcissism. And some accounts on Instagram. I mean, these things are out there. In the last days, men and women will leave their natural desires. We call that the state of California. So so I'm not, I mean, famines and wars and rumors of wars, I get it. But there is a last day promise. There is a last day promise that is so powerful, it appears both in the Old Testament and the New. Job 2:28, Acts 2:17. In the last days, praise be God. That's what puts a smile on my face. That's what prompted me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a flight to be with you today. In the last days, he never said, I might, I may, I will consider. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Which means what? Get ready, Twin Rivers. We are about to see more people saved than ever before. And we are about to see more people come to Jesus as Lord and Savior than ever before. If you believe it, praise like you actually believe it. We are about to see our prodigal sons and daughters come back home. We are about to see the glory of Jesus shine in you, with you, for you, and through you. And even this, can you come into agreement with me? In 2023, more people will come to Christ as Lord and Savior through your testimony than all your previous years combined. Amen? In the last, the most powerful spirit is not the spirit of Ahab, Jezebel, or Baal. The most powerful spirit in this city, in this state, in America, and around the world, is still the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It's still the Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit is present, there is power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There is freedom, 2 Corinthians 3:17. We are to be driven by that Spirit, not by the flesh, Galatians 5:16. We are to be filled with that Spirit, not drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18. We are anointed with that Spirit, 1 John 2:27. For ye have received the anointing, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you. We are defined by that Spirit, Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Oh, ho, ho. And that Spirit cannot be and will not be stopped. One more time. Cannot and will not be stopped. Let me give you a quick little story on that. So in the state of California, it's not this state, the state of California during COVID, and I'm not getting political here, God forbid. You could do your Google due diligence. In the middle of COVID in California, things were different. Like, we weren't allowed to have any church. We couldn't meet. We couldn't do. But then the governor, and I'm not saying anything disparagingly, because we're streaming, bless his heart. So as he issued an executive decree, never done before in American history. Not only were we not allowed to have church and gather, that's like stating the obvious in California. Yes, we were not essential, all of that. But then he went to the next level and said, in your home, in your home, go ahead, Google it. By executive decree, you are not allowed to have any sort of worship expression. So we were forbidden by executive fiat in the state of California. Here are the words, Google it. We were not allowed to sing, worship, praise, or chant. It's a chanting part that killed the Rodriguezes. Because every morning we wake up, venga camija, ah! And that part killed us because we love to chant. That's what we do. So, I mean, no one, I mean, we weren't allowed to gather and do any of that. Not that anybody actually listened, but that was an executive. That's why I want to make it clear. Cameraman, give me a tie shot. There's not an executive order, a Supreme Court decision, a presidential decree, a legislative initiative, a social media campaign that will ever have the power to stop God's Holy Spirit from moving. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. If you have that Spirit, shout like you have that Spirit. Praise like you have that Spirit. Live like you have that Spirit. Pray like you have that spirit. Love like you have that spirit. Ah, ah. Ooh. Real quick, vamos rapiditamente aquí. Number two. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, he speaks Californian. Number two. The mantle of drought, fire, and rain. That mantle upon the prophet Elijah that we're juxtaposing right next to Jezebel's threat was not just the mantle of the spirit, it is the mantle of drought, fire, and rain. 1 Kings 17 and 18. 1 Kings 17, 1. He carried that mantle when he exercised holy authority and unleashed the drought. In 1838, he prayed down fire. In 1841, he proclaimed the rain. It's drought, fire, and rain. Somebody repeat, drought, fire, and rain. I don't want to become presumptuous here. I don't want to assume anything. If you've been through at least one major drought in the past 5 years, relationally, financially, spiritually, mentally, if you've been through at least one measurable drought in your life, raise one hand. At least one. If you've been through a couple of major moments where things, nothing was growing, and you're looking around going like, what's going on here? Like, what you talking about, Willis? If you've been through that season, anybody like over 40 just laughed. So, everybody under 30 went, who's Willis? Is it one of the Gospels? Yes, the Gospel of Willis. Yes. If you've been through a couple of major droughts, raise both hands. Seriously, if you've been through so many droughts that you lost count, raise both hands and a foot. All right. If you've been through so many droughts that if I go on my iPhone right now and I Google the word drought, automatically the algorithm will take me to your Instagram account. We all go through droughts. There are seasons in our respective lives where nothing is growing. Nothing is growing. Always remembering that the God of the process is the God of the outcome. But there are people that want to jump from drought to rain, which is the chronological sequence outlined in Scripture, both in the old and in the new. There are people that want to jump from drought to rain without ever going to the fire. We can't get to the rain without going to the fire. The fire season is this interesting season in our corresponding journeys. It's a season of, and the fire, by the way, for all the old school, charismatic, spirit-empowered, Pentecostal, any other nomenclature in the scripture you want to apply, listen to me carefully. The fire of God does not make you dance. The fire of God makes you get on your knees in repentance. The fire of God is a sanctifying fire. It is a purifying fire. Matthew 3:11 fire. It is a season where God, in a season more than a season, it is a process where God says, here it is. I'm going to purge stuff from inside of you. And on many occasions, God will remove people from around you that would have held back the fulfillment of his purpose in your life. That's the fire season. But I'm going to ask one more time. If you've been through the drought and you've been through the fire, then you should be smiling. Because the next thing coming your way and your family's way is nothing less than God's abundant rain. If that's you, open up your mouth and shout, here comes the rain. If it's really you, lift up one hand and say, the rain is coming. There are showers of blessing laid out in Ezekiel 34 in the book of Acts. It is that refreshing rain of God's spirit that will descend upon you. It is drought, fire, rain. Number three, it is the mantle of speaking. Oh, one little side note, sidebar, amendment to this. Let's just add it on. Those that prayed with you in the drought deserve to dance with you in the rain. A little sidebar there. Number three, it is the mantle of speaking truth with love. With this mantle, the prophet came along and he confronted one of the greatest moments in scripture. The prophet Elijah, he calls upon the people of Israel to gather on top of the mount. This is it. I'm tired of this. Let's do this. 1 Kings 18, 21. Hey, who will you serve? Will you serve Ahab and Jezebel and Baal? Or will you serve the God of our fathers? And the Bible says that God's people said nothing. Nothing. That's political correctness. So they never said, we're going to go for Baal. Baal is the man. They stood quiet and said nothing. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. I'll repeat that. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Number two, you are what you tolerate. In your family, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your thoughts, in your health, in your finances, you are what you tolerate. Number three, there is no such animal as comfortable Christianity. Number four, truth must never be sacrificed on the altar of political or cultural expediency. And number five, we have to reconcile our eschatology over missiology, which means what? While we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up. We must speak truth with love. Psalm 89:14 gives us a prescription. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Truth and love lead the way as attendants. If all we do is speak love, if all we do is preach about love, we're nothing more than California hippies. If all we do is speak truth, we're great mathematicians. But the moment we combine truth with love, when we speak truth in love, with love, for love, then we change the world. That's what Elijah did with the mantle. This mantle descending upon you, so I am speaking prophetically. There's a fine line between the prophetic and the pathetic, by the way. And prophetically speaking, we're about to just receive a fresh infusion of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're about to see some great things happen. We're not drinking the Kool-Aid. Elijah and Elisha will rise up in this generation. That spirit, that anointing, indeed. And Ahab and Jezebel and Baal will not have the final word in any of the respective generations in this auditorium or streaming. But we must speak truth with love, never sacrificing that truth. Let me give you a moment real quick. I had the privilege, by the grace of God, and I want to tell you, your pastor has heard this, on how we got there. When I was about 12, 13-ish years of age in an Assembly of God church, I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I'm from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That's why I have a messianic complex. My parents are not preachers, but we were raised, my mom's is actually from Church of God from Puerto Rico, but I was raised in an evangelical home, but I doubted everything because I was born with a strong affinity for mathematics and science. I still do. I believe calculus is the language of God. So if you never went beyond algebra, repent. Just simply stated. So I doubted everything, especially in a Pentecostal church. I doubted the hype, the who, everything, the whole stuff. You got to be, I mean, I doubted everything. So I'm there. One day, and my mom gave me a choice when I was a kid growing up. Different generation now. Don't apply this. You may get sued. My mom gave me a choice. Go to church or die. I chose church. So I went to church because my mom made me go to church. Really? Like, you have no choice. Tú vas para la iglesia, aquí no tienes remedio. So I went to church. One day, I'm at church, and this guy named Bernie Gallo, who I never met before, from Teen Challenge Ministry, David Wilkerson's ministry, Rehersburg, Pennsylvania. So seven people who know what Teen Challenge is and three who know David Wilkerson. So I'm at church. This guy comes in for the first time with a choir. Holy Spirit, this is 1980s. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit. Then he stops and says, midstream. He goes, the Lord is saying there is a Sammy? There's a young man named Sammy here. Now, mind you, it was a Latino church. If you ever want to prophesy accurately in a Latino church, all you have to say is this: God has a word for Jose or Maria. You can't miss. I mean, you just can't miss, right? Like, yeah! That guy, yeah, aquí está, señor, háblame. But Sammy was not your normal common sort of thing. Only one Sammy. The other Sammy was my dad. So my pastor, the church, of course, being so introverted, because as Latino, they're really quiet people. That's racist, but true. So the church goes, ahí está el muchacho. So that which means what? Ahí está el muchacho. So I go, oh no. Pastor goes, Sammy, vente. So I come up over here. The guy looks at me and says, Sammy, oh, here's the Lord. Here's the word of the Lord for you, Sammy. Sammy, you're a boy now. You're going to be a man. God says you're a man of God. Man of God. And then I'm going like, oh man, this is not what I believe. If that rapture stuff is real, come, Lord Jesus, come. And he begins like, everything I'm doing. And I mean everything I'm doing now. Everything. Not like generic stuff. Like the generic prophecy is, and the Lord says, I will bless you. Well, thank you for that, Numbers 6:24-26. I'll take that. And it's cool. Maybe God wants to affirm the blessing. But it wasn't that. Detailed. And then he wraps up and says, and before I finish, the Lord says, you will pray for presidents of the United States of America. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Let me repeat that. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? God gave me a word. I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary. The promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary. The promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed. It's so filled with God's power and spirit. It will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.